Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to all. My name is Debbie, and I am an alcoholic. Our fifth tradition states that our primary purpose is to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Valley Group honors this tradition by rigorously searching for the finest recovery speakers in the Western Hemisphere so that they can share their experience, strength, and hope with us. Each week we recognize one of these speakers for their service to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is now time to recognize Valley Group's Outstanding Speaker of the Week. The nominee for this category has a sobriety date of October 9th, 2001. He has been continually in service as treasurer, he's a sponsor, and he is a supply person. And he has no favorite motto. So, may I have the envelope, please? What is this? Well, thank you. The moment we've been waiting for? The winner of the Outstanding Speaker of the Week is Nick R. from Fresno, California.
Hi, my name is Nicholas Russo, and I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is October 9th, 2001. You know, and I was only out there for 8 years, and you know, 4 or 5 years of it were somewhat fun, where I had lots of fun out there, you know, but the last 3 years, man, you know, brought me down the hill real quick, I feel like I should be a woman, you know. I was only out there for like that long. But I'm not a woman, and my story is my story, you know, and it's nice to see you, Marsh, and anyways, I was born in Akawa, you know, and I had lived there up until I was 2 years old, you know, and the first abusive thing I put in my body was gasoline, you know. And about a year and a half, 2 years old, you know, I was standing in the garage, and, you know, I love the smell of gasoline, man. You know, it's gone. You know, it's changing over time to put all these chemicals in it, you know, that makes it even, you know, more, you know, less potent. But, you know, I like the smell, and, you know, I was out there alone, and, you know, and my first thought was, you know, drink it, you know. And, I ran into the house, you know, puking green bile stuff out of my stomach, and took me to a community hospital, and pumped my stomach, and, you know, so that was the first, time. And my parents should have looked at the situation, knowing that, you know, he's going to have a drinking problem, must have a drinking problem, you know, because not everybody does that, you know. And I always felt like I was alone, you know, even way back, as far as I can remember, I felt like that something inside of me was not, that was very different from all you guys. And I didn't realize that all you guys thought the same thing too. I took my first drink at the age of 12, you know, which was Captain Morgan's Spice Rum, you know. And I felt my first allergic reaction to alcohol, you know. But see, the problem I have, when I was 17, and I made it to the to AA Northeast, is in Fresno, you know. And but you know, I suffered from the obsession, you know. But I had problems with the allergy, and I had an allergic reaction to alcohol the first time I had the drink, you know. And I see I have this this a disease that could lie to me, you know. Could be a very you know, a delusional effect on my thinking, and but you know, and you know, I started to drove them into dope and all that, and it just got worse, I finally, I talked to my mom about getting into a program when I was 16, which is, my stepdad, which was in charge of, he was an alcohol counselor, in that he knew this guy and worked with this guy in the past, who was a big boy that fought in Vietnam, talking about 6'8", one of those guys that you never want to mess with, I met him in the past, made it into that, that rehabilitation center, I guess you want to call it that, for high school and students in high school who are suffering from this disease, we made me paranoid, long story when it comes to that, I had in a session with the weed and including alcohol, but weed made me paranoid, and so in order to give up weed, I had to get into ABC program, So anyways, so I got in there, and I gave up the weed, but my alcoholism got worse, far worse, because one higher power, giving up one higher power leads to another higher power, and that higher power was alcohol, and that made me, even worse. And, I never blacked out in the beginning, my first 7 years, I never blacked out one time. I knew what I was doing. I couldn't control what I was doing, but I knew what I was doing, but I could remember everything about that night, I started blocking out within the last 6 months of me drinking alcohol, So anyways, so in the 99, I got my sponsor got me a job at Kool-Aid, and I quit that job to get drunk. And how, I was going to AA, going to Northeast, I thought I had my sobriety under check, I guess you want to call it that. I still had control over my when I'm gonna drink or not. I still had that partial control over it because I haven't surrendered to the allergy, so anyways, I got drunk, 8.5 months in sobriety, I got drunk, and left that job, quit that job, made it back to AA, I got a job at St. Mark, I worked there for about a year and a half, pretty much I loved that job. I was around people, I enjoy being around people, but also, you know, I was living on the, somewhat of a spiritual plane of life, you know. I was doing the staff, but also, you know, I haven't surrendered to this disease, you know. And that, you know, for me, that always catches up with me, you know. So anyways, about 4 months of working there, you know, I told my mom and then my sponsor, you know, that I was not going to go back to AA, you know, and my mom and my sponsor, they knew what, you know, that I've been drinking, you know, and I've been drinking before about 2 weeks since I ended up, you know, with that discussion, so anyways, a year and a half, you know, I was out there within a year and a half, you know, and my disease, my allergy to liquor, you know, oh man, you know, it was bad, it was bad, yeah, you know, I couldn't control it at all, you know, and on October 9th of 99, you know, my stepdad died of colon cancer, you know, and which is, I had my real dad, you know, and he gave life to me, you know, but my stepdad, you know, he was my real father, you know, yeah, taught me morals, taught me things, you know, taught me about life, you know, and I love that man, you know, in the summer of 99, when he was about to pass away, you know, was the worst time of my life, you know, even worse than hitting bottom, I think, you know, because he was suffering, you know, and it's hard watching him suffer every day, you know, but you know, I didn't drink. I stayed sober. I do that. I don't know why I stay sober. You know. But I did. You know. So you know. And I think it was either March or April of 2000, you know, is when I sat down with my mom and sponsor, you know, saying that I'm never going back to AA again, you know. So anyways, I feel good about, you know, that conversation that I had, you know, with them, you know, because I thought I was in control of my life, you know, I thought I was, you know, doing things my way, you know, controlling the whole show, and that went on for a year and a half, and and then I started seeing this girl, you know, started, that didn't work out, you know, but you know, I had an obsession over this girl, you know, and obsession over alcohol. And I tried AA in the past, you know, and I felt and experienced the spiritual awakening flow through my body, you know, and actually flow through my body, you know, I take it as the energy that I didn't have before. And that's why I'm sitting here today talking to you, alcoholics, is for that energy. Because that that energy that I never felt before. And that's God to me, you know, doing things in my life. And with him in my life, then comes the inspiration. So that's why I'm here talking to you guys. So in October 8th of 2001, or beforehand, because, you know, I got fired at Saymart, you know, and I almost got in a fight, but it didn't turn out that way. So anyways, they fired me out on the spot, you know, and then I got hired at Chevron, you know, washing cars. You know, and my alcoholism, I was drinking every day, like I was all throughout working at Saymart, and I'd been drinking at night, and then having a hangover in the morning, you know, just waiting for the moment to where I could open up a bottle of, you know, vodka, because I, you know, that's my alcohol choice, or wine, you know, and I did not want to be in my life at that time of my life, I was fearful, angry, resentment, fear, personal relationships all over the place, I was the four terrible horsemen, I was suffering from that, you know, for a long time, you know. So anyways, in October 9th of 2001, you know, I shot myself in the head, you know, with a 38, you know, and didn't remember it because I was in a blackout, you know, and I blacked out for like 6 months before, that could have been, thinking back about it right now, that, you know, not only was my life in danger, all of you guys' lives were in danger. You know, because who knows what I'm going to do, or, you know, people are going to do in the blackout. I don't know. You know, driving, putting a bullet into my head. All that stuff that I get done. And then that I did, you know, not only affects me, but affects all of you guys, my family, you know, my stepdad who passed away, who was, staring down at me, saying, man, you know, I thought I'd raise you better, you know, but you know, I couldn't control it. You know, which is one thing is when you are a true alcoholic, you can't control whether you're going to drink or not going to drink. That's why the 164 pages, which is a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, only one person or one thing is that's going to keep you sober. That's a higher power. You know, you must find that higher power. You know, and then my sponsor over there, Justin. Thanks for taking me to Visalia, and speaking here. And Justin is my sponsor, you know. And but not my sponsor back then. Back then it was a different guy, you know. And but you know, I'm glad that Justin is my sponsor, because you know, I'm still going through stuff right now. You know, drinking wise, I'm not afraid of drinking, because my higher power has removed the obsession. But you know, I have a problem with living life, you know, and it's always nice. And you need to find someone that you could talk to do your whole force or fifth step with, or in a tenth step with. But anyways, yeah, you know, I'm still going through stuff right now, you know, that stuff that you know, I have no control over, but you know, yeah, my delusional thinking is that I have a control over that situation, that person, that you know, that, yeah, and I have no control over that, I need that, I accept that. You know, and love and tolerance of others is our code. You know, and that says a lot. I don't know most of you. You know, but deep down inside, man, I love you all, because you're children of God. You know, yeah. If I would hate you guys, I'd be like saying I'll hate God, my higher power. You know, and that's inexcusable to me. It's a, you know, it's a the hate word. I don't, you know, I hate anybody unless you were in the blue. the Dodgers, but you know, that's, you know, I don't hate them, but I don't like the Dodgers, you know. But that's a different story, you know. I'm glad I'm here, you know, talking to you guys, you alcoholics, and we're all gonna, you know, life is just life. We're all gonna have problems in life, you know. And the thing about reading the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is that you got a tool that put in the life, the practice in life, you know. And sometimes them tools are hard, you know. And but God makes that possible, you know. God is looking out for us, and I know He's looking out for me, anyways, you know, I have some amends that I need to make, you know, and you know, I haven't made them in dealing with 10 years now, and then, you know, 15 or 20 years from now that I haven't made. You know, and that, you know, I'm willing to make them, and that's all that, yeah, you know, the ninth step is the willing to make them, or the eighth step, you know. But I need to make the amends to the person that I, you know, I did things to, you know, or the businesses that I stole from, you know, because I don't know what's going to happen to me if I don't make that amends. Miserable, and I would hate it to be a miserable drunk, miserable sober drunk, always suffering, always guilty, and always resentful, somewhat hateful, and I, you know how I feel about hate, and I don't want that, and then to be out there drunk, those are two options that I never want to go through again, and so that's why that amends that needs to be made, thinking about it, thinking about that one person that affects pretty much my whole life at the time, pretty much I dislike the guy, and having to make amends for my what I did to him, I don't hate him, I don't dislike him, but I don't care for him, but those are in the man's that I need to make, because I don't want to be a miserable, and I that's what not why I'm here in AA for, I want to feel happy, joyous, and free. Feeling that miserable and hatred and resentful, and I would rather end that drunk than going through all that emotional baggage, So anyways, how much time do you have?
You have 15 minutes,
5
minutes,
so. Okay, I don't know what else to say.
We can take questions.
Okay. Well, all right. Thanks. Are there any questions that you guys have for me? What did you say?
Just go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Are there any more questions?
Hey, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
Tim. Yeah, thanks for coming up here.
When I shot myself in the head, I remember my past way back when, but right now, like 10 minutes from now, or 10 minutes in the past, I could not remember, and by the time that I knew I was going to survive, because when I shot myself, it went through my inner lobe, and that affects my thinking. I learned how to walk, talk, pretty much when I woke up from my coma, then I knew that I was gonna survive through that, but I didn't get into recovery going to meetings, and I didn't turn my life over to the care of God until like a year later. Yeah. But in the past, I already I knew that that you know what I need to do spiritually, and I've already done it spiritually within that year, you know. So yeah. Are there any more questions? I don't know. I knew you, though. One thing I can say is that if God wants me to die, then I'll die. You know, God has a different plan for me. To be around. As in terms of sponsoring people, helping people out. That could be anything. Thanks. Any other questions?
Does it break fear for you to speak to
yourself? I'm getting older. last month I spoke at that Fresno Fellowship, and it was that four tables. All of you guys with the Fresno one, five tables. That's what the Fresno fellowship that many people in there. But I feel more comfortable now. Because. That was my first time speaking there in a long time. And plus, I spoke at an Al-Anon meeting in about 02, 03. So, I know you got one, Justin. Okay. All right. Wait. Did you hear him? This is the third time I spoke to at an AA speaker meeting. So this is the third time. Any other questions?